This evening's reading is taken from Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 13, and that can be found on page 1014 in your pew Bibles. So that's page 1014, Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first."
Thank you. Do keep that open and let me pray as we begin. Father, please be with us now and help us to listen to you. Amen. Would you describe yourself as self-sufficient? I think it's an attribute our society holds in high esteem. We esteem people who can look after themselves. Certainly as a teacher, it's a quality that we're constantly trying to encourage our students to develop. And we love a good rags-to-riches story. So, for example, in assemblies, when I'm at school, quite often the example we're given is someone who's made it after hard work, determination. And the attitude, the sort of lesson you've got to get across is, if you try hard enough, you'll be successful. And I'm sure in lots of ways that is a great thing. To be self-sufficient is a great thing. We want people to grow up, to be able to look after themselves, to be able to leave home. Parents do want to encourage their children to be self-sufficient. One of my favourite childhood memories is when we saw my grandparents They had quite a big garden, and my brother and I were regularly given a frying pan, a packet of bacon, a packet of matches, and told to go and entertain ourselves the afternoon. I don't know how self-sufficient that made, but it certainly has given me a love of fire, as one or two of you here can testify to. But what about spiritual self-sufficiency? What about spiritual self-sufficiency? Is that ever a good thing? What might Jesus have to say about spiritual self-sufficiency? Well, in these verses, we're back in Mark's Gospel, and Jesus continues to teach us what it looks like to follow him. And in this passage, there are six references to either the kingdom of God or eternal life. So look down, you can see them there, verse 14. Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to those such as these. Verse 15, verse 17, verse 23, verse 30. Six times reference to the kingdom of God or eternal life. So clearly that is a big theme in these verses. The kingdom of God. How do you enter the kingdom of God? How do you approach? What sort of attitude is Jesus looking for here? And I think Jesus has got two main lessons to teach us. So firstly, in verses 13 to 16, those who come with nothing leave with everything. Those who come with nothing leave with everything. Each society, I guess, has its nobodies, the groups who are just ignored by others. Maybe for our society, it's the poor or the immigrants. They're looked down on by many, ignored by many others. They don't have status, they're not welcome. People think that they just cannot contribute to our society. However, one group that we don't tend to think of as nobodies are children. Children are often at the centre of many people's lives, of family lives. How do charities try and raise money for a worthy cause? Well, quite often they show a photo of a child whose life has been disfigured by hunger or war, and they expect the emotional response to lead people to giving them money or their time. But in Jewish culture, it's very, very different. Childhood was an unfortunate and unavoidable space of time in between birth and adulthood. Children brought nothing, they couldn't look after themselves, they were nobodies. Which explains verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. No, please don't bring these nobodies here. As I'm sure you know, Jesus, he's pretty great, and well, as you know, we're his disciples, we're pretty great too, and he's just a bit too important to deal with these children. What can they contribute? These little children, they're nobodies. They bring nothing. And if the disciples had anything to do with it, they would have stayed well away from Jesus. Remember, we saw a couple of weeks ago in chapter 9 how concerned the disciples were with their greatness. So much so, they told the man driving out demons in Jesus' name to stop it. And here, they're at it again. They're stopping nobodies from getting to Jesus. They only want the right sort of people coming to Jesus. Now, I wonder if that's something we ever do. Or an attitude we ever have. Do we make it hard for people to come to Jesus? Do we ever drive the nobodies away? Maybe not actively, but I imagine each of us has ideas of which sort of people we'd like to come to Jesus. And those who don't fit in with our ideas, well, we don't drive them away. We certainly don't make it easy for them to come to Jesus. We prefer those who can contribute something as they approach Jesus. But what is Jesus' response? Look down at verse 14. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Once again, the disciples are getting a correction from Jesus. They've got it wrong. Again, Jesus cares about little children, because Jesus cares for those who bring nothing. What does Jesus mean? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Well, often people suggest that children are innocent or humble. That's why the kingdom of God belongs to little children. But I don't think that can be true, because you only have to spend a little bit of time with little children to find that they're not very innocent or very humble. You only need to watch young children playing together to see they don't need to be very old at all to be self-centred, to be sinners. No, Jesus blesses these little children because as they come to him, they are helpless. The little children come to him small, powerless, without sophistication, with nothing. And that is a picture of how we are to come to Jesus. Like it or not, we are nobodies. We are small, powerless, without sophistication. And yet so often, we think we're like the disciples. Actually, God would be pretty lucky to have us on his team. But what's the warning? Look down at verse 15. I tell you the truth. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Are we those who come to Jesus with empty hands? Are we those who come to Jesus helpless? Are we those who come with nothing? Because that is what it means to receive the kingdom of God, to come to Jesus with nothing. Verse 16, Jesus puts his hands on them and bless them. Those who come with nothing leave with everything. Jesus put his hands on them and blessed them. Those who come with nothing leave with everything. But secondly, those who come with everything leave with nothing. Those who come with everything leave with nothing. Verse 17 to 31. What a contrast, verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. And what do the disciples do? Well, they don't turn this guy away. This man, he's got everything going for him. This man is exactly the sort of man the disciples want to join them. There's lots of reasons given in the passage. Look at verse 22. He's rich. Wealth and prosperity would have been seen as a sign of God's blessing. So, for example, in Psalm 128, it reads, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. They will eat the fruit of their labour. Blessings and prosperity will be theirs." Secondly, verse 17, he's running. So he's clearly keen to see what Jesus, to hear what Jesus has to say. Thirdly, he falls to his knees. He's very respectful. Fourthly, he addresses Jesus as good teacher. Again, respectful. Fifthly, he seems to ask a good question. What must he do to inherit eternal life? Sixthly, he seems to have lived an exemplary life. Verse 20, he says that he's kept all the commandments since he was a boy. And seventh, 21, Jesus looks at him and loves him. Jesus' heart goes out to this man. This man seems to have everything going for him. Well, who would be equivalent today? Well, I guess they'd have plenty of money, they'd come from a nice Christian family, they'd have been a regular at church from a young age, they'd gone to a good school, they'd help run the Christian Union, they'd gone to HBC each summer, they'd have a good job, they'd work hard, and they'd be a great person, moral, respectable, good company. The sort of person who has everything, who comes with everything. So Jesus puts his hand on the man and blesses him. No, wait. That's not what happens. Because Jesus is showing us here that those who come with everything actually leave with nothing. What really happens to the man? Look down at verse 22. He went away sad. Verse 22. The man went away sad. Well, why is that? What's the problem here? Why does this man leave with nothing? What is wrong? What does he get wrong about Jesus? Well, again, there's a few things. So firstly, look back down to verse 17. He calls Jesus good teacher and asks his question. And as Jesus often does, he answers the man with his own question. Verse 18, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Only God is good. So if Jesus is good, he must be God. But if Jesus is God, then is he a teacher? So what does the man opt for, teacher or good? Well, look at verse 20. He drops the good and then just calls Jesus teacher. So he doesn't seem to think that Jesus is God. He may think he's impressive. He may think that Jesus has some answers. But he doesn't think that he's God. Secondly, his question in verse 17 seems like a good one. But who's at the centre of it? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? The man wants to know what he can do, what he can bring, what he can achieve. Thirdly, verse 20, all these commandments I've kept since I was a boy. Come on, we think, he can't have possibly done that. Well, maybe not. But Jesus doesn't condemn the man. But what does he do? Well, look at the commandments. If you knew your Old Testament, you would know that it's the commandments from the second half of the Ten Commandments that are in that list. And the missing ones are commandments 1 to 4. The commandments which are about loving God first. About loving God before idols. So this man may have kept some of the commandments, and he's kept the ones that can be observed, but he can't keep the ones that can't be observed. He's left out the commandments that can't be observed. And how does Jesus expose this? How does Jesus expose that he's not putting God as his number one? Look down at verse 21. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. What is Jesus demanding? He is demanding the number one spot in that man's life. Go sell everything. And these are terrifying words from Jesus. What do they mean? What do they mean for us? To follow Jesus, we need to sell everything. Well, we're quick to explain. Jesus can't have meant selling everything. In other places in the Bible, it talks about hard work, talks about prudence, talks about storing up for the future. But I think Jesus is saying that he needs to be the number one in your life. Jesus says, I need to be of first importance in your life. Jesus is asking if we can say that he is number one. Is Jesus the number one in your life? And how many of us could honestly say that Jesus is of first importance in our lives? How many of us would give up whatever Jesus asks of us? Give up comfortable jobs and houses, money and status? How many of us know Jesus not just as saviour of our lives, but as Lord over our lives too? For this man, it is just too much. Verse 22. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. This man had everything. And he wasn't prepared to be someone who had nothing. He wasn't prepared to give up his money to put Jesus as his number one. And I think this is a real warning for us. It is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is hard for us here at Barkham to enter the kingdom of God, because the rich, the educated, the people who live comfortable lives think that they have everything. I notice it in myself. I think I'm a pretty good person. I'm self-sufficient. I don't really need much help. I can look after myself, thank you very much. But that is the attitude of this man. And he goes away sad. He goes away with nothing. Jesus says that this attitude is spiritual suicide. Spiritual self-sufficiency is a disaster. It is a spiritual killer. Any thought that I'll be okay with God because I'm good enough, or because I've made a commitment to Jesus, or because I go to church regularly, because I pray and read my Bible every day. Do you hear the I in all of those? Any of that puts us in the same camp as this young man. Master, all of those I have kept. And it's a particular sin of the English, I think. It's the Dad's Army mentality. We may look hopeless, we may act stupid, we may get laughed at, but in the end of the day, we'll muddle through, we'll be okay. We've been okay since 1066, and we'll carry on that way. But no, verse 24, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And that is meant to be a ridiculous image. Some people have said that the needle is a gate in the city wall, and the camel can get through if it takes off all its baggage. But no, there's no evidence for that at all. Jesus is making the point here that it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God through human effort. So what would you conclude if I finished here? if the sermon finished here, well, what would the conclusion be? Please try harder. Please give up more. Give up everything. Then and only then will Jesus accept you. Please don't hear that as the main message. No, there is a real warning for us here. But simply doing more will not make Jesus accept us. No, the warning here is for us to give up our self-sufficient attitude. It is to be a nobody, to come to Jesus with nothing, like a little child. Remember our first point, those who come with nothing leave with everything. And how do the disciples respond? They are amazed. They just don't understand. What hope is there? If even their hero, this rich young man, the sort of person who had everything, if he can't be saved, then who can be saved? Well, look down at verse 27. What wonderful words of comfort. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Even though it is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, even though each one of us is naturally proud and self-sufficient, what is naturally impossible, impossible with man, is possible with God. And that is great news for us here this evening. With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. But Peter speaks up again, like usually just blurts out what's on his mind. What? But was it worth it? Is it worth it? Verse 28, we have left everything to follow you. Well, once again, Jesus shows that those who come with nothing leave with everything. Truly, I tell you, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. In the age to come, eternal life. Eternal life, what this young man was seeking but failed to find, is promised here to all and any who follow Jesus. What a promise. Who may be saved, they ask? Well, you may, says Jesus. You may be saved. But there is only one way to come, and that is like the children. Only by coming with nothing will we go away with everything. For as Jesus says in his closing words, many who are first will be last, and the last first. How can we be like a child who comes with nothing? Well, remember that Jesus has done the impossible. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Finish with the words of a hymn writer who says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." Father, please humble our self-sufficient attitudes. Please help us to be those who come to you with nothing. And thank you for the wonderful promise that those who come with nothing leave with everything. Amen.